Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you hanging over the break. And as always, we'd like to have you guys check us out on where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Don?
On Facebook at The Valley Outdoors.
And like us, please, always. Yes. We'd like to have that happen. We'll be trying to make announcements every week to let everybody know what's happening on the show. So, kind of cool. Without further ado, it better be good, Don. The story better be good.
Well, I mean, there's...
See, now you...
It's a turkey hunt.
It's a turkey hunt.
But there's more to the story.
Well, I like to hear more to the story.
Okay.
That's good, considering today is rainy and crappy and ugly.
Right. Well, this is, of course, in Minnesota, and is if you hunt this part of Minnesota, I think we're in Area 501. The seasons run from Wednesday through the next Tuesday. And for the last 4 years now, I've had, other than last year, I actually didn't go last year because I had so many meetings. I usually hunt season two.
You're retired now, right?
Huh? Yes. And I so I usually hunt season two because the location I hunt at, the property owner hunts season one, and I, out of respect, let that happen. The thought process was, you know, I want to be as effective as I can when I'm out there. So I'm fortunate enough to have about four spy point cameras out in the field where we deer hunt, and I'm hunting the same area. And I started noticing quite a number of photos with turkeys showing up on them in some of the areas that we hunt.
A gaggle?
Well, at one time I counted 22.
That's a gaggle.
In one photo. So I'm going, you know, evidently I wasn't the only one that didn't hunt them last year because there seems to be a fair amount of them. Now, that was earlier in the year when there was snow on the ground. One, it's easier to count them and see them, but...
Just ask the DNR.
Yeah. But as you know, as the year goes by, has been going on, we're getting into this season, you know, where they're starting to fan out, and I'm noticing there's some big toms out here. And
oh yeah,
I was looking at season B. This is, you know, just this last Tuesday, I literally hadn't even bought my license yet. So I said, well, looking at the weather forecast, I was going to have two nice days.
A short window
to try to get this in. And I'm going, well, what are the odds? But I started looking at all my photos, and I started seeing a pattern of when these birds seem to be appearing in this area. So I said, well, I'm just going to see if I can match up with them and have any luck with that. So I went and got my license Tuesday late in the day, and I wasn't in a big hurry because you usually don't see the birds show up till late morning. And so I never actually got out to the field till about 9 o'clock, and I have a pop-up tent that I set up, and I got all set up there, and I'm in there, got my decoy set up. Actually, I was going to try to use my camera to see if I could get a little video of it, if a bird would come along. Well, I was in there for, I'm going to say, over an hour, and while I'm there, of course, I'm drinking bottled water because I'm thirsty, right? And about 9:45, here
Mother Nature calls.
Well, but so doesn't a bird. So here walks a Jake into the area and is literally on a beeline right for my decoys because I had started calling. And he popped right out of nowhere. And this bird teased me for 45 minutes. Now, I had no intentions. I never even brought my firearm up because he only had like a 4-inch beard hanging down.
Right.
And he was a Jake.
Right.
He was a Jake. So this Jake, and he's literally walking right alongside my blind. I mean, he's 6 feet away. I can see his head sticking up, and I'm practically looking eye to eye at him. And he's going through this. I'm in a tree line that's only about 20 feet wide. And I'm waiting to see if he's leaving. So I go, because I need to now make an exit from the tent, if you know what I mean. So I literally, I have a chair that I have, and I turned around on the chair and looked out the back of the blind to see if I could see this Jake out of the sight. And what do I see? Three of the biggest toms I've ever seen, 15 feet away, through the brush, all fanned out. And I go, oh, my goodness.
Suddenly, you don't have to go to the bathroom anymore.
Oh, my goodness. No, I still did. But
oh, okay. I just thought might,
but
it,
I'm going,
you might have taken care of it right there.
He says, now what am I going to do? So I turned around, and I started just a few chirps.
The box call.
All three of them started gobbling. Now, if you've ever been that close to three big toms
crazy.
In the Google, when they, it was an experience. So I'm going, and they're walking away from me, and they kept on going. So I'm trying to not move because I'm literally
wide open there.
And so I waited 15 minutes, and I'm going, yikes, this is getting tough. Well, then I chirped a few more times, and I didn't see anything, so I open up my blind. So now my flap's all the way down. I'm there in front of everybody. I go to stand up, and here they had turned around, come back around, and there's all three of them standing there to my right, 20 yards away, in the wide open. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, I've never had this shot before. So they're in single file.
Oh, no.
All three of them.
Oh, no.
And I literally am out the side of my tent now with my rifle on the, or my shotgun on the...
lead tom.
On the seed. Yeah, well, they're so close, I'm not going to take a shot because
I'll hit
at least two of them, if not all three of them.
Yep.
And I'm waiting for one of them to separate. And it's finally the front one. And they were just beautiful because the sunlight was glowing on their feathers, all the colors. And the lead one finally got about a good yard or two in front of the other two, and I pulled the trigger, and he flopped. And the other two stood there and went,
What happened to Joe?
It was so I had to just sit there and
watch how they react.
They turned around a couple times, and they looked, you know, and he was just laying there, you know, in peace. And finally I said, boys, I got some other business to do. So I didn't even go out to the bird. I headed to the trees, right?
Yep.
And what did I forget? I had just put a trail camera up there.
So you got that on pictures as well, huh?
Well, I got to start.
Well, so if a doctor ever wonders if you're okay, you could just show them the
yes. So then I went and got my bird, and I go, you know, that's the nicest bird. So by the time I got everything all packed up, and I went up to the farmer's house, and he measured the beard on it, and the longest hairs were 13 inches.
Wow.
So, you know, most of them were 12 and a half, but there were a few hairs that were 13 inches long. I go,
that's awesome.
It's an awesome bird. The problem was I was hoping I could get a nice fan out of it, but I had to pick the one that probably got
the worst.
Well, he's been in some battles because he's missing about four or five feathers right in the middle. So, you know, half of them are broke off. So, I mean, they weren't fanned when I shot, nor would have it made a difference because I wasn't going to take a shot with the two close to each other. So.
Yeah.
But it was a really fun hunt. And that all happened from 9 till 10:45. And I was literally out of
the... A whole lot of action happening.
Yep. And so... And I thought I'd send you guys a photo.
Yeah, it's a good one. My dad is hunting right now with his friend, and they haven't gotten anything yet, but they've seen some nice ones, apparently. Yep. And we were talking about ticks, right? And I'm like, well, how are the ticks? Because the dog always comes back covered in them. And my dad's friend, Mark, who I've been hunting with my entire life, he's like, yeah, I had one, you know. And I'm like, well, that's pretty good to just have one, but... Yeah.
Location's a big deal, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I was like, well, where'd you find it? And he said, you know, crawling up my neck. And I'm like, that bothers me that they've been on you that long to make it to an ideal spot. You know what I mean?
Well, you could get it just walking through the woods.
I know. But they're going to go straight for your head. It's where all the blood is and thin skin. So
he just
usually go to warm spots.
Warmest spot, yep. Yeah, I'm not a fan of ticks. That's all I can tell you.
Nobody.
A big deal.
Did you get one while hunting?
No.
Good for you.
No.
Nothing wrong with that. So when you're looking at turkey hunting, Don, yourself, what was the prime reason you wanted to go turkey hunting?
You know, when I went on Tuesday, It was the most beautiful day. The sun was shining. There was hardly any wind. I was looking at my same cameras. 20 minutes after I left, there's deer standing there in front of me. You know, would have been in front of me.
Well, that's the way that works.
So if you enjoy nature,
yeah,
it's really fun. I wish I had some modern day photo equipment. I would go out there and just sit with a camera. And I mean, if someone could have got those three toms strutting all at the same time, would have been a photo. I mean,
that'd be cool.
It was cool, and the colors are just amazing. So
yeah,
it's the challenge. You know, you hear a lot of people. I just talked to a friend that has been hunting for a week, never got a bird.
Yeah.
You know, so you spend some guys have to spend a lot of time out there. I was just say, in my case, the trail cams really help, because I kind of got, you know, I don't know that turkeys work on a pattern or not. We're going to try to have a pro on here in the next week or two.
Yeah.
And we can ask them that question. But
well, they do pattern. They will. I mean, they're going to
because
be
they would do the same thing in the evening, about 6:30, 7 o'clock. I would start getting photos from my cameras.
Yeah, and they go to their roost areas. And
then they go to the roost. Yep. So they're pecking. And that Jake that was messing around in the field, he was doing a lot of scratching, you know, and then he would, I don't know what he's eating, but he's scratching, you know, whether they're grubs or or what.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I will say that it's such a different methodology in bird hunting when you're just sitting there, because most others, you're always chasing after.
Right.
Right. Now, there's some guys that do. They're going to go look for them, and then they'll
try to stalk
get them ready to come out of the roost. Yep, absolutely. So, you know, it's a different methodology and a lot of different ways you can do it. I've got guys that actually bow hunt for them.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, or crossbow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But crossbow, yeah, that's one thing. And a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, he's part of the fishing league, he shot with a crossbow.
Yeah.
But, boy, I tell you, I mean, it's such a diverse methodology that you can harvest turkey. So, pretty cool. It's got the elements of deer. It's got the elements of a bird hunt, quote-unquote, with a shotgun. And
I mean, it's almost as exciting as having a buck show up in your in your lane.
Yeah.
I've learned over a few years is that it's okay to pass on some birds, hoping to see one of the bigger ones. And this was an older bird, obviously, based on his beard.
That's cool.
Yep.
Very nice, I have to admit, Don. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
And we're going to have turkey jerky when?
It's actually at the locker, and the jerky will be here probably next week.
Nice.
Kind of like that.
I'll bring you some.
Beef sticks. Just like beef sticks. Right, Ava?
Venison sticks.
They would be turkey sticks.
Yeah.
But they're actually turkey jerky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, changing gears. Had a cool story. You can get a lot of big fish in spring, right? It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter where you go. You're going to find fish put the feed bag on. They've hung out, and all of a sudden, everything's active. Also, before they lay eggs and do all that fun stuff. This story comes out of Ohio, and I have a lot of friends who were just out at Lake Erie and catching some fish out there. The wind blew, of course, per normal.
Right.
Which was kind of funny. But out of Ohio, not on Erie, but there was a potential record for a 101-pound blue catfish. Now, Don, I know your love for catfish is deep and strong, and I figured I had to tell a story.
Oh, yeah.
This 50-year-old girl from New Richmond may have broken the Ohio State record on Sunday for the largest blue catfish, a monster 101 pounds, 0.11 ounces. It was bigger than we ever imagined. And they fish catfish a lot of different ways. And this one is, they caught them with a jug fishing. So they put a bunch of jug lines in the Ohio River about 8 p.m. in the evening. And what you do is you put a number of jugs out that use lines that are suspended from a floating jug, like a Hilux bottle or something like
they're
that.
They're big bobbers.
Yep, exactly. And weights that are on there to keep the jug in the same spot.
Right.
And typically they put them out in, at sunset and then check them the next morning. They got there about 2 p.m. and said it was a pretty normal day. They checked the one. He said, oh, there were probably 10 of them were about 5 pounds. They threw them back. And then this last one, they started pulling, and he noticed it was pulling back pretty hard and thought it was a pretty big fish. So we're trying to get rid of the debris and all the other stuff that was stuck in the line. They're doing that. He yanked the jug right out of his out of her hand. So you can imagine, because you're using a cord, literally almost, right?
And it's like a rope.
They're pulling him up, and they're pulling him up, and he said, this is a big fish. So this girl's dad leaned over the side of the boat, tried to net the giant, and they almost flipped the flipped the boat trying to net it. The fish pulled hard again. They started to fight. Adrenaline, et cetera, gave a good pull. And, you know, they roll, right?
Right.
And there was all chaos that went on in the boat. But they finally were able to get in the net. And they said it definitely could be a record. And they brought it to the house. They weighed it in that morning right away. They put it in the... I should say that night that of the that afternoon, they put it in a bait tank until the next morning when they can get actually officially weighed. And it was pretty cool
because they gave it alive.
Verified. Yeah, it was verified.
Yep. Did they release it?
It didn't come up in the story that they released it.
Maybe it didn't survive.
Yeah, it's possible. But
is that a an Ohio record or a world record?
It is a Ohio record, world record, as you question, 143 pounds. So, yeah, kind of one of those things, but kind of a cool story. Real quick, I'd highlighted at the top of the show, we were talking about mistakes, three common mistakes, Don. I'll cover them real briefly.
Yep.
Calling too early. So you're calling too early and you're not, it can spook them and get repetitious, right? not being ready, Don, which is a big one. And last but not least, being too patient. You're waiting for something that's never going
to
happen.
Oh, well, that can happen to a lot.
But you don't have to wait for the show because we know this show is going to happen next week. Thanks, for guys, for hanging out. Don, thanks for the story. Appreciate it. For Ava and I'm Eric. This is the Valley Outdoors, and you guys were here. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you next week. See ya.